Find, if you would, again, Acts chapter number 4 this evening. Let's go back to the book of Acts, that fourth chapter there. Back to the book of Acts, that fourth chapter tonight. I do praise the Lord for Trisha coming to know the Lord this morning. For all of the people in this church that have worked on the church website, her brother lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Her brother said, my sister needs a church, got on the internet, found our church on the website, sent her to our church. She's been here a couple of times, and today she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that doesn't make you want to rejoice, I don't know what will. What God uses to bring people to himself. This morning, I've been waiting all week to preach that message. I guess you could kind of tell. I was a little excited. I don't apologize for being excited, but I did get worked up. But I just rejoice for the opportunity to know and to hear and to see the bold witness of Christ that took place in our land this week. I appreciate a bold witness for the Lord. I want to be a bold witness for the Lord. I want our church to be a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think most of us, if we were honest in our hearts, would say that there more times than not, we kind of shrink from that boldness. More times than not, we have that wrestle in our spirit when we know that we ought to say a word for Christ, and fear caves in, or fear gets a hold of us and we cave in. I think we know what it is to go home and kind of ashamed of ourselves. And I'm not belittling you for that, not beating you for that. I'm just saying that I think that we all know what it is to have that experience. But in our hearts, I do believe we want to be a bold witness for the Lord. If you want to be a bold witness, say amen. And I think that our country is in need of a good, strong, bold witness for Christ. Where else do people have to go? Where else do they have to go? I think that, and I want you to hear all my statements before you rush to a judgment in your mind on me. I think in the presidential election that we just went through, if you could chart that election probably almost 6 months out before it took place in November of 2008, we watched our country for the first time in a long time have hope. I think that hope was so preached throughout the primaries, throughout the election, throughout the process there, that it just began to sweep our nation. I never will forget that night when our president now, who wasn't the president then, but stood in front of that big thing in that football arena and began to speak to the people. I don't know if you watched it or not. It was one of the most powerful, moving things I think I'd witnessed in a long time. And everybody you talked to or heard or listened in around the world thought that, man, hope is here and success is here, and all of our questions will be answered and we'll be satisfied. And I think for the first time in my life, I have never seen it like that. For the first time in my life, I think the country was rushing toward a position that we thought, here it is. Here's our opportunity. Well, now we're down the road. We're past that. And I don't mean anything negative about our president. I'm not trying to make a negative statement. But we're realizing that there's not a sinful man, and I mean that in any of us, we were all born sinners, there's no man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ that can give hope. He is our hope. And so I think right now that our country has been confronted with the direction that we are going. It's my understanding that they're expecting more foreclosures in the year of 2010 than we've even had so far. I talked with a man this week, and grabbed me by the arm, and he said, Pastor, he said, I've never seen it like this in my life. And he said, I'm going to have to file. And I knew what he meant when he said, I'm going to have to file. And I think that prior to the November back then, we kind of thought it wouldn't get where it's going in our nation. And I don't blame anybody. I just think that we've reaped what we've sowed a little bit. But now people are starting to wonder what's going on. And now they're starting to wonder, what are we doing? And now I think is when, if you have an answer and the answer has power, it's time to give an answer for the hope that lieth within you. For example, one of the greatest things I appreciate about our church is that when we meet together, I do believe that God shows up. I really do believe that. We have the promise that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he would be in the midst. What good does it do for us if we meet and God doesn't show up? We had Brother Hank Henson's dad's funeral here at the church. And I don't remember if you were there or not. But we experienced the presence of God in that funeral in an outstanding way. And I remember when Amy and Jay got done singing, they sang that song, In the Presence of Jehovah. And Hank and the grandkids had done an outstanding job, and Hank had already witnessed Christ to everybody. And when they were done singing that song, I knew in my spirit that God was here. And I remember stepping up to the pulpit and saying, what you feel right now is the presence of God. I didn't know the impact of that statement until later when Brother Hank called me and said that there were many different people that had gone to many different churches, not our church, but different churches, and they had called him and said, we don't know what just happened. They said, we'd never experienced anything like that. One man said this. He said, I've been a certain all of my life. And he says, I've got to rethink everything I've ever done. He said, I have never been in a church service where God showed up. Now, I think if you have an answer that has God's power and has truth to it and all that, it's time to speak that answer. Well, listen, my friend, we have the answer. Amen? And so we don't need to be ashamed of it. We don't need to cower from it. It's time to make a stink about things. It's time to speak up. Was I the only person who felt a little bit nervous in the middle of a store saying Merry Christmas to somebody? Do you remember back at Christmas time? I made a point to say Merry Christmas. Now, what they did this year was they kind of spun it on us. Instead of saying, last year they didn't let them say Merry Christmas, and I think Target took a bath last year, if I remember right, if I studied that. Of course, they didn't take a bath from our house. I think we bought everything in Target. But they would say, I'd say, Merry Christmas to you. They would say this, same to you. Same to you. Same to you. It's like they couldn't even form the words Merry Christmas. But there were some times when I was surrounded by people and they were saying Happy Holidays and I'd say Merry Christmas. I almost felt in my spirit like, wow, what's going on here? And so I think that it's time. Now, I say all that to say this. I really do believe that God, that 2010 is going to be a great year for us. I do believe that God is doing something in our church. He's not just using one person. He's using the whole church. And we're seeing prayers answered. We're seeing people come to know the Lord. We're seeing growth in our own hearts and all of those things. But it's time now for us to understand the reality of the Word of God. And what Britt Hume did on that interview, when he spoke those words about the need for Tiger Woods, to me, I use the word awesome. I look at that and I think, man, what a powerful witness that has been. Listen, the world does need what Jesus Christ has to offer. They do. And the moment we think they don't is the moment that the devil has distracted us. Only Jesus Christ, I told you this morning, can transform a man on the inside and on the outside. And we need to understand that he is explosive. You need to just know that Jesus Christ is dynamite. He is explosive. I will say it this way. He's dangerous. He's dangerous. If you're afraid of danger, you really don't want to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I promise you, he's gonna bring danger into your life. What kind of danger? He may ask you to quit everything and go be a missionary. He's going to challenge you in what you think. If you're going to be a follow him in the Word of God, it's going to be explosive. I would back that statement by saying this. Understand that no matter how explosive it gets, we are on the winning side. We're on the winning side. We don't need to cower. We do have all authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. We can stand unashamedly. And even though they come at us from all different angles and they come at us with whatever power they have, all you have to do is speak the name of the Lord, and that puts you in control. We talked about the reasons this morning on how to handle this explosion. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we talked about really what's at the heart of this explosiveness in our world against the Lord Jesus. And really, it begins with that authority. Satan hates the authority of Christ. The demons of hell hate the authority of Christ. The spirit of Antichrist, yea, the Antichrist, will hate the authority of the Lord Jesus. And the reason that there's such a vicious attack on our precious Savior is because humanity and our sinful condition, they want nothing to rule over them. And so there can't be just one way, because if there's just one way, that's bias. There can't, no religion can be better than any other religion, because now you're belittling people and you're setting yourself up. And so just because I don't believe the way you believe, just that's not fair for you to suppress me like that. Well, we know that you can compare religion until you're blue in the face. Religion never saved anybody. Only Christ saves a man. And so the audacity against the authority of the Lord. And then that moved into arrogancy. And even in Acts chapter 3, when we looked at that earlier, or Acts chapter 4, I'm sorry, they couldn't deny the great miracle that had been done to this man. And they weren't even trying to deny it. They were trying to suppress it. And really and truthfully, that's why Jesus Christ is so explosive in our society. I didn't get a chance to develop this this morning, so I want to. When I said that statement today about atheism, understand this. In John 1, he said that Jesus Christ lighteth every man. So for a man to say that there is no God, he has to suppress what he knows in his conscience. It's not a true statement. It's a denial. He looks at creation and he can know there is a God. He understands in his own conscience. And so for him to make that statement, he has to suppress that in that arrogancy. And if you look at chapter 4, and you read verses 13 to 17, you saw how they didn't care about truth. They just didn't want to humble themselves to it in any capacity. So the reason Christ is so explosive is they hate his authority, which is God-given. And they're so arrogant in their position that they won't humble themselves. And then out of that arrogancy, they plan an attack. Now, attack is new. Here's where we start new. Look at the attack that they tried back when the church was just after Pentecost. Let's go to verse number 17. And the Bible says, but that it spread no further. What was the it? The it was the power of God and the work of God that was going on. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Now, I'll say this. I do believe that there's some great parallel here that happened all the way back. That's happening in our land today. I think that there is a threat against the church, or a dare against the church, to speak the name of Christ. I really do. There's a threat out there. If you lift the name or speak the name of God, or you speak the name, there's still that same tactic is the threat. And so go on to verse number 18. Here's their actual plan. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So the attack was shut up. Shut up. Don't speak in the name of Jesus. Now, Let me ask you to think this in your mind and just tell me, don't tell me out loud, but think what will happen. If they came and said to you, don't speak in the name of Jesus, what would you do? What would you do? You have to, if you're going to be a Bible person, you've got to process a couple of things. Look at verse number 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto who? God. Now, hold your hand here and go to Matthew chapter number 28. Hold your hand there. Go to Matthew 28. You got to see what's taking place here. Matthew chapter 28. Because the devil is still up to his same old tricks. He's still up to the threatening of the church, trying to silence the mention of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He silenced it from our schools. He's silencing it from our television. He's trying to silence it from the radio. He's trying to silence it from the pulpits. He's trying to silence it any way he can. And so he's still using the same threatening behavior. Now, what happened here was the devil tried to put the church into a bind, and I think it's the same bind we face today. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, and look at verse number 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that word power is authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of, finish the verse, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Go to Mark, the very next book. Go to the very last chapter. Go to Mark chapter 16. And go into go to verse number 15. Is another one of the great commission verses here. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right. So the commandment to the church is that we are to preach and teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? All right. Now come back to Acts chapter 4. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Peter's response to that was, fellas, we're going to obey God more than we're going to obey you. Now, what I think is happening in the church across America today is we have let threatenings suppress us. We're so afraid. But understand this, not one word that Jesus Christ has ever spoken or preached has been changed in all the Bible. And so the commandment to still preach and teach is there. And so what Mr. Hume did on national television had such power and was so captivating because most people would have said, oh, I can't do this right now. No, no, no. God said when there's an opportunity to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, to give the answer. And so I take that as tremendous encouragement and tremendous conviction to myself. You say, well, Pastor, being so explosive and knowing the society that which we live in, how would we survive something like that? How would we survive that? Okay, good question. The only way I know to show you how you survive something like that is to finish the rest of Acts chapter 4. Let me show you how this church survived being a bold witness in a very dangerous time in their land. If you go on to verse number 23... this is after they had preached their message and after they had said this to these rulers and these leaders. The Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own company. I underline that phrase. That is a great phrase. You could use one word to define that phrase. You could say, and being let go, they went to the what? To the church. To the church. Now, here's where, and as I go through this, this is why the pastor tells you, and I'm trying to lead us to understand the importance of the local church, not just only in our lives, in our personal lives, but on the grand scale of our nation
and of our world. Do you know that the greatest institution alive and the most important institution to the Lord Jesus Christ is His church? We would agree with that, amen? Nothing more important. And did you know that it is the church that the Lord is working through to suppress evil right now, to restrain the spirit of Antichrist? Do you understand that when the church is raptured from off the land, and I hope Brother Jimmy teaches us about this next week, when it is caught up away, that will be the releasing. There will be nothing to restrain the imagination of humanity. Let that sink into your brain a moment. Nothing to restrain them. And so you talk about the evil that will be unleashed. It will be horrific. So God is using the church right now as a mighty weapon. He is protecting it. And so it's important. I believe our church is strategically planted for Broward County. I really do. I believe it is strategically planted. I believe that God has given us a responsibility to win our Jerusalem, given us a responsibility to be salt and light, given us a responsibility to stand for truth. And I think that when Broward County wants to know what God thinks about something, they ought to think, well, we can go to Plantation Baptist Church because they know what God thinks. All right? So we're here. Now, watch what he says. Being let go, they went to their own company. They went to their church. Why? Because we need each other. We need each other. Listen, I'm so encouraged that you're here tonight. I'm so encouraged in our church. We need each other. We understand we need the services. We understand we need the teaching of the Word of God. They went to their own company, and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, what did they hear? Well, they heard that they weren't allowed to teach anymore. They heard that they were put into prison. They heard that if they said it anymore, they were going to be threatened. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in a Honda Accord. No, but one preacher told me that one time. That's not true. With one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. You ought to underline those words. How are you going to survive being a bold witness with the explosiveness of Jesus Christ? You will survive it. We will survive it together as a church. But the first thing we do is we realize that no matter how strong the attack comes, there is only one God and He is in control. So I had better understand. And they went back and they said, Lord, You're God. We're on Your team. Lord, You're God. And we have no hope but You. I'm reminded of what the three Hebrew children said. They didn't care what the circumstances were. They turned to the Lord. I think as we move toward the coming of the Lord, that it is going to be imperative as we move toward the moving in our nation, that we understand and know who our God is, to know His great strength. Read this verse. Just let me go through it. They said, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth. Pretty good feat, wouldn't you say? Anybody ever made heaven and earth? No, He's all powerful. And the sea and all that is in them. He goes on to say, who by the mouth of thy servant David, back in the book of Psalm, I think Psalm 2, said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. This was all prophesied. Now they say in verse number 27, here's the answer to that prophecy. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. So what you said in that Old Testament has come true. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They said, God, You are our God. You are on the throne. You are all powerful. Your word is forever settled. And so we will come to You. And if you and I are going to be a bold witness for the cause of Christ with the explosiveness of the name of the Lord Jesus, we better understand who we are as a church, and we had better know what it is to put our rest and our hope in our God. Now, here's what I need to ask you. And you need to wrestle with this thought, and I need to wrestle with this thought. I'll never be able to withstand as a bold witness for Christ
in the hard day if I can't trust the Lord in the easy day? What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, let me just ask you this. Right now, do you have the practice of running to the Lord when you're in trouble? Do you have the practice of running to the Lord when you have a need? Do you have the practice of obeying God's word no matter what happens? Is that your prayer? I mean, in life, when I guess the best example is tithing, and I don't mean to speak about tithing tonight, but what do? When you've got all these bills over here, but God wants his 10%, what do? You steal the 10% and pay your bills? Or do you run and say, "You're God, here's what belongs to you. If they shut my lights off, fine, but you will not be disappointed in me." See, if I don't learn to run to God now, what do I do when they want me to be dishonest? What do I do when they want to? If that's not my practice now, listen, when it comes time to stand in the day of adversity for a bold witness of Christ, it has to be the church's understanding that we will stand in the protection of our God, come what may will be, but he is all powerful and he's able to care for us. But if I don't practice that personally now, oh my goodness gracious, will I practice it down the road? Keep going. Look at verse number 29. Look at their prayer. Verse 29, he says, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings." I like that. Lord, you see what they're doing? You see what they're doing? Have you ever had to do that before? Sometimes, Lord, you see what Beverly? No. We don't do, I don't do that. Sometimes you have to say, "Lord, you see what they're doing? Lord, you heard what they said, didn't you? Lord, you heard that, right? Lord, you're beholding their threatenings." And by the way, I was reading the book of Ezekiel this week, and God is talking to them about all these negative things that they had said about him, and God says, "I heard what you said." God hears everything that's said against him, and one day there'll be a day of reckoning. I promise you that. Lord, behold their threatenings. I'm going to read verse 29 very carefully. "And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may be quiet like the people told us to be." Does your Bible say that? No. Go back. "Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." How do you survive and be a bold witness with such an explosiveness as the name of Jesus Christ? We run to our God and we make our prayer and our hope in him, and we ask God for boldness. We ask God to protect us. We become vulnerable to him. I'm afraid what's happening today, if we're not careful, is that we run and ask God to protect us, but we don't ask God to grant unto us boldness. Now think about that. That's huge. There is a prayer for protection, but they didn't pray for protection. They prayed for boldness. I think as the church going forward, and I mean the church across our land, going forward, I'm not necessarily sure that God is interested in protecting us. I know that he wants to protect us, but I think God's more interested in us trusting him and being bold than for us to pray for protection and never speak a word for him. I know we're a little deep tonight for Sunday night, but they said, "Lord, you heard what they're saying, right?" Yeah. Okay. Well, then give us boldness. Give us boldness. Goes on further. And then he said, by verse 30, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." God, do only what you can do. And look at verse number 31. "And when they had prayed," okay, so they prayer's marvelously important in this. They were men and women who prayed. "When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with," what, class? Boldness. Okay, now, they prayed for boldness, and they received boldness. Sometimes we pray for boldness,
but I'm not sure we receive boldness. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, sometimes we can pray things without meaning it. I'm not the only one that can do that. I know other people can too. Sometimes we can, or words just come out, and words just come out, and they just come out, and they come out because they sound good, and they do all that, and we pray for boldness. But let me ask you this. Have you ever received boldness? Well, what do you mean? Are you going to come up and bop me on the forehead and receive boldness? No, I'm not planning on doing that. I think that there's been times in our lives, and there better had come a day where we don't care what anybody else thinks. We're going to say a word for the Lord. That's boldness. Boldness is, I'm sick and tired of you belittling my Savior. I can't take it anymore. Don't care what you think. Don't care what you think about me. I'm telling you, you need Jesus Christ. I think that we're so stuck praying that we haven't ever received boldness. Well, how do I receive that boldness? I let the Spirit of God lead me. If you would see, boldness was granted unto them. The Spirit of God enabled them to speak the word with all boldness. I really believe that Mr. Hume, in that thing that we showed on this morning, he was moved to boldness. Listen, here's what Tiger needs. He needs Jesus. And I think that in our churches, it's time for us to be bold. And it's not time for us to shake. Look at verse number 32. What will this do to us, preacher? What will this do? Well, in verse 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believed, I love this, I underline this, were of one heart and of one soul. You search the scriptures, persecution always brought the church of Christ unity. And I think that what's needed for us to be of one heart and of one soul. What will bring us to the position of one heart and of one soul? Well, the Holy Ghost will bring us to that position. Being filled with Him, the power of God brings us to that one heart and one soul position. Then you go on, and I'll stop now because it's time, but you go on and see how it so impacted the church. Pastor, how do we survive being a bold witness for Christ? Well, number one, we need our church. We need each other. We need to be encouraged. And God's people said, we need it. Let me say a word about this, and I know this is preaching to the choir, but we are church membership people. I believe the Bible teaches church membership. You ought to be a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I don't want to say it, Lord, but I'll say it. I don't think if you don't have a membership, you can call yourself a church. A lot of churches, a lot of big-time people, they don't have a membership. You read Acts 2. Membership is in the Word of God. We're Bible-believing people. And so we're going to need our church. How do you become a church member? Well, you're saved and you're baptized and you join a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Why do I need to do that? Because you need a church. We need a church. How do we survive then, Lord? What do we do? Well, we run to the Lord. We anchor our hope in the fact that He is God. He's got eyes to see. He's got ears to hear. He's got an arm to outstretch. We make our prayer for boldness. It's not just some prayer that we pray, but we receive boldness. How do we know we've received boldness? We have power of God in our lives. And then what does that do? That knits us to one heart and to one soul. Now, listen. I really do believe that God is able to take Plantation Baptist Church to take us as individuals, knit us together with one heart and one soul, and I think that God can accomplish anything He wants to for His glory. And that's why I'm so excited for the year 2010. But we need it to be one heart and one soul. And we need God to bring us into a position of unity. Jesus Christ is explosive. He is. He's dangerous. He is dangerous. But you know what? One day He exploded me out of my sin and brought to me eternal life. And the same way that He did that, He is explosive and people react violently to Him and the demons of hell lead that position. I better just know it. But I don't care what you respond. In the end of the day, there He'll sit on that throne and there we will ever be with Him and we will be with our victorious Lord. It's not time for us to shrink in our boldness. It's time for us to go forward and serve the Lord. Are you with me? All right, let's go serve the Lord this week then. Let's pray and let's go home.